Financial Advisors. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So what is a financial advisor in the M&A context?
Well, it's your friendly neighborhood investment banker. It's the folks at Goldman, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, the list goes on and on. All sorts of regional and boutique investment banks that play in the M&A space too. Investment bankers of all sizes, shapes, and colors, it's the universe of financial advisors.
And who ends up hiring these people?
Well, typically it's the boards, and there's special committees of the boards of the buyers and sellers who hire bankers to serve as their strategic advisors. Often the sell-side engagement starts with an assessment of strategic alternatives, and that proceeds to some sort of a sale process. In many instances, these bankers may have been informally advising boards for years. Many situations with my clients where we've had a banker that will come in as part of just an annual strategic retreat and review M&A conditions and market conditions in the company's industry and trends in transactions. And they typically many times won't charge for that at all, or just a very modest fee, and they're really doing it to stay close to the company. If it becomes time to sell, that the banker will get engaged to do that. And buyers will also sometimes hire bankers to assist in developing acquisition strategies, but very typically a buyer will bring a banker in on a one-off because of their expertise in the industry, or and typically buyers will bring a banker in either if they've used the bankers in the past and that's part of their strategy. They don't like to do things completely internally, or if it's a big deal, they'll almost always have a banker on their side as well. Smaller deals, for an experienced acquirer, may not see a banker's involvement at all from the buyer's side, but if the deals get bigger, there's a sizable chunk of equity, there's financing that needs to be arranged, then the buyer, there'll be almost assuredly a banker on the buyer's side too.
And what types of issues does the financial advisor weigh in on?
The financial advisor, I think most of the time, this is the most experienced deal person on the transaction. Lawyers may have a lot of deal experience, and you obviously wouldn't want to do an M&A transaction where your lawyer has not been around the block a few times. But these folks, they're in the deal business. I mean, and they are in the market, I think, more than just about any law firm, so they advise you on everything. They'll advise you from the advisability of seeking a sale to the process by which you ought to conduct that sale, who the likely buyers are, what your potential valuation range you can expect. They'll also assist in negotiating the terms of the transaction. They'll run the auction if you go through that process, or any other kind of solicitation process. They will share views on market provisions. They'll give a sense for whether they feel, and this is something the lawyers often weigh in on too as well, but whether some provision is or is not market that somebody is asking for. In many instances, if they're representing the seller, you'll get a fairness opinion from a banker. If the buyer is issuing a significant portion of stock, or it's going to shareholders for approval, you may well see a fairness opinion delivered to the buyer's board as well. You'll sometimes also see them facilitate the financing for a prospective buyer, sometimes even doing what they call staple financing, although that's something that has been criticized because of the nature of the conflict of interest that it poses. But essentially being willing to serve as a source of financing to a prospective bidder, that's been criticized by the courts, and people don't do that as frequently, I think, as perhaps they did several years ago. But I think there is a sense, and I think there's even an acknowledgement in some court cases, that in some situations that can convey a benefit because it assures the board of at least one financing source for a bidder. But it's also fraught with conflict, as you might imagine. So there's a wide range of services that these folks provide in terms of assessing whether a strategy to involve a transaction makes sense, processing the transaction, and advising on the transaction.
So is this advice given orally, or is there a written documentation, some kind of report given to?
Well, there's they make a bunch of presentations throughout this process. These guys speak in PowerPoint, so that's typically what their materials are comprised of. But you'll get various presentation materials, again, basically corresponding with whatever they are, whatever stage that the engagement is at. You get a strategic assessment, you'll get evaluation. At appropriate times, you'll ultimately end up, you'll get reports on the progress of the transaction, and many times there'll be some sort of a banker's book with those. And if there's a point reached where there's a deal to be considered, then they'll also give a formal fairness opinion presentation. They'll typically be a PowerPoint that they will walk through on that, and then that they actually do reduce to writing. There's a fairness opinion letter that is delivered. One thing I want to say about that, talking about fairness opinions, there may be more than one financial advisor involved in your deal. Most of these folks get a modest retainer or a fairness opinion fee, but the vast majority of their comp typically depends on the deal closing. Now, courts have pointed out the potential conflict that this presents for these firms if they're rendering a fairness opinion, but 90% or more of their payday depends on that deal closing. So they obviously have a very strong incentive to say that it's fair. So sometimes what you see people do, particularly sellers do, is retain a separate firm for the sole purpose of rendering an additional fairness opinion in the transaction to help address that that potential conflict situation.
And what about disclosures and SEC filings? What will they typically say about a financial advisor's advice?
Yeah. A lot. You know, it's funny because this is an area that if you go back in time and you pull an M&A filing with the SEC from, I don't know, 25 years ago, you'll see a paragraph about basically the banker's qualifications and a summary of the fact that this is what it reviewed and it found the transaction to be fair from a financial point of view. Well, that isn't the way it works anymore. They are, for many, many years now, the SEC has required extremely detailed disclosures concerning the financial analysis the bank undertook, its assumptions. Any projections that it relied upon in making the analysis are typically going to be disclosed. Any potential conflicts of interest or actual conflicts of interest that the bank might have. And by the way, it's very important if you're engaging an investment bank to surface these conflicts during the engagement process and not late in the game. And these things are rife with conflicts. These are major financial institutions. Their tentacles, extend everywhere. And chances are you may be hiring a bank because it's got real expertise in your industry. Well, it probably has an awful lot of relationships with other companies in your industry, other private equity funds that target your industry, and they've probably done deals and are doing deals for them. So you need to. This is something the board needs to know. And it needs to be surfaced really before you engage the investment banker, and any changes that are material need to be updated about. Conflicts of interest are a big disclosure item, and this type of disclosure is required under both SEC rules and state law duties of disclosure. There aren't a lot of bright lines. These are often some of the most complicated disclosure decisions that you reach in the transaction. So there are a lot of detailed disclosures, and deciding what the cutoff point is can be a very difficult decision to make.
Good stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.